Yeah. Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. Yeah, it is Christmas. Come on. Don't look at me like that. Some of you have been celebrating it since the first week of November, okay? So look at me like that just because it's, what, the 22nd? So I don't have a countdown clock, so I have no idea how long I have to go. And so that's a good thing. I got a Bible and a willing heart, so I don't know where you guys are this morning, but I want to read this morning, and then we'll pray. Luke chapter 1, believe it or not, we're going to read part of the Christmas story this morning. I was actually going to speak about the crucifixion, the resurrection, just to mess with Bren, because I always do. But that would be appropriate too. But we're going to read from the birth narrative in Luke's gospel this morning, and then I want to share just some things that God's been ministering to me on that I think will also be a blessing for you guys too. We'll consider it a Christmas present this morning. All right? So Luke chapter 1, we're going to start reading from verse 46. We'll read to verse 56. This is called the Song of Mary in tradition, or the Magnificat if you have. Come on. That's it. The Magnificat if you know Latin. But anyway, here we go. Verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty," how many know he's mighty?
Amen.
I didn't hear hardly anything from that side of the room. I'll come and I'll just preach to this side of the room until I get you guys excited this morning. All right. He is mighty, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Verse 50, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation, for he has shown strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones, and he's exalted the lowly or the humble. Verse 53 says, he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And then verse 56 just says, and Mary remained with her being Elizabeth, about 3 months and returned to her house. Let's pray. Father, you are worthy. I loved worship this morning, your sheer beauty. You are everything that the human language cannot communicate. You are, God. You're magnificent. You're full of majesty and splendor, and we're here to acknowledge that to you, but also to one another. As we stand in this place, God, we recognize that we are participating in a very holy thing, and we want to be in an atmosphere of worship, not just a few songs, but an atmosphere where worship is constant and worship is enduring. And so, God, that worship would go on long before or long after, I should say, we leave here this morning. But more than anything else, God, as we now focus our hearts on your word, you would get the glory. You get all the recognition. You get all the fame. It all belongs to you anyway, but we wanted to give it to you in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. So I had like 5 minutes with Pastor Tom this morning. So he knows nothing about what I'm sharing about. Is he here in the room? I think he's probably downstairs. But my opening was going to be about Christmas songs. It's my favorite pastime. I love Christmas. I love everything about Christmas. Well, not everything about Christmas. Let's be real. But I love Christmas. I love it all. I just, for the longest time, I'm a little old school with this, okay? So I don't celebrate Christmas in November.
No.
Amen.
And I know this is a climactic battle that's going on in our culture right now. I get it. I understand. All right. People who want to start celebrating Christmas in October. All right. I've come to a much more peaceful place in my heart, Kristen. I have. All right. I used to wage war with this. Okay. I used to wage war. But, you know, I'm not anymore. I was Scrooge. I was the Grinch before his heart grew 3 times the size. And who is Elf's father? Elf's father. Somebody help me out. James Caan, right? Mike James Caan? Yeah. Walter Hobbs. There it is. Walter Hobbs. Come on, somebody, anybody watch Elf? Nobody watches Elf. Okay, all right. Okay. But I was kind of that guy. I'm like, babe, we are not celebrating Christmas until after Thanksgiving. Yes. Like, give Thanksgiving some room to breathe, baby. Like, give it some space. Yeah. Smell the turkey once in a while, right? Focus on that sweet potato casserole. Drink a little eggnog, but come on. I mean, like, let's give it its due. I might come back to Thanksgiving in a minute just because I want to. But anyway, but really, it's a battle. Like, it's you know, you go into Lowe's, you go into Walmart, you go into Kohl's, and it's Christmas time. You know, Christmas music's playing, and it's like 3 weeks to Thanksgiving, and I'm like, white Christmas just doesn't have the same melody, doesn't have that same, right? So anyway, speaking of Christmas songs, I'm just going to weave it in here anyway because Tom used it. But it's my one of my favorite things about Christmas is playing Christmas music. So while I was like, right, Abs, I would not allow you to play any Christmas music before Thanksgiving. Once Thanksgiving was over, it was like it was an endless playlist in our house. Still is to this day. Like, my wife's got Pandora going on 24/7. It's Christmas music, right? I have a long playlist. I pretty much listen to Christmas music all December. Anybody with me?
Yeah.
Right? I don't know about you, but I like carols and classics. But, you know, I mean, who doesn't like Michael Bublé? Yeah. But as long as it's not Mariah Carey, it's fine, yeah? Mariah Carey. And there is one song that is not on my Christmas playlist. It is Last Christmas, and it will not be played on my playlist. But
now you got it in my head.
Yeah, right? What's cool about Christmas music and Christmas, other than the fact that it just brings the season into view, is the fact that the Bible actually has a Christmas playlist. So if you read Luke chapter 1, which we read a little bit of it this morning, and you read Luke chapter 2, there's actually three songs in the Bible, the Christmas songs. They're actually the first Christmas carols. And they do something that a lot of Christmas music today doesn't do. They keep the main thing the main thing.
That's
right. So even while it's cool, you know, to listen to, you know, Jingle Bell Rock and all that stuff, it's great. You know, do it. I love it. I do too. There's something about the songs that just keep the main thing the main thing.
That's right.
And so all of these Christmas songs, there's one sung by Mary, which we're going to talk about here in a moment. One sung by Zechariah, John the Baptist's father. And then another one, probably the song that plays the most on the playlist, and that is the song from the angels. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Right? So that's a Christmas playlist. So here's what I'm going to do. Like, right in the beginning, this is kind of like your outro, but I'm going to give it to you in the beginning so you don't forget, is it wouldn't be a bad idea to have that playlist going for the next couple of days. Like, spend time listening, singing, humming, all right, play it loud, play it proud, that Christmas playlist, which means you're going to have to get in the scripture to do that. But let it be sung. Let it be heard. Let it resound. And let it be what it was always intended to be, as the angels will say. It's good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Amen. So I want to speak to you this morning about the first Christmas carol. I call it the first Christmas carol. And this is the Song of Mary, as it says in my Bible. It's the Song of Mary. And I have a rhythm. I don't know if you guys have like a rhythm during this time of year. I love the Advent flow, the preparation, the anticipation of celebrating the arrival of Christ. So I kind of stick to that. But I always read, this week, I always read the Christmas stories leading up to Christmas. And the other day, my wife and I were going shopping, and we were just kind of sharing what God was putting on each other's heart. And I was sharing with her a lot of what I'm going to share with you guys this morning about how this story, which I know very well, I know the story of Mary, I know how it interweaves with her cousin Elizabeth, I know the amazement of the fact that God is coming to the earth, he's becoming a man, and it's just wonderful. There's just something about Mary. There really is something about Mary. And she definitely comes into view in this season, right? There's a song that says, Mary, did you know? That was actually what I was going to title this sermon, Mary Did Know. There's something that she did know. There's some things she knew. There's some things you knew, as you're going to find out here in a moment. But this portion of Scripture, which is Mary's song, the first Christmas carol, is actually a response to what we typically focus on when we tell the Christmas story. So I'm going to just do it really, really short, cliff note version, okay? And then we'll get to the song, because the song is where the presents are. The song is all the things under the tree, right? So the story, again, as many of you know, I don't want to assume, because some people in here might not be too familiar with what the Bible says about it, but Mary is about a 14 or 15-year-old teenager in a very obscure place called Nazareth. And so, you know, a lot of people believe that she was probably from a poorer family. They certainly weren't rich. But she's an ordinary girl. She's just an ordinary girl from an ordinary town. And she gets visited by one of the heavenly hosts named Gabriel. Now, something that happens every day. Anybody had Gabriel show up at your door, right? And not only show up, but show up with the kind of welcome and the greeting that Gabriel will show up with. Because he's like, hey, Mary, guess what? You have found favor with God. And she's like, what? That's actually what stunned her the most. Not that the angel showed up, but the fact that her, an ordinary girl, found favor with God. He didn't even get to the good part yet. He didn't even get to the, could you say that again, part? She was just amazed that God actually pays attention to people like her in places like Nazareth. And this is a stumbling block for a lot of people. I mean, certainly this has been the case always in human history, where we have this sort of presupposition that, of course, God cares about them and those, but there's no way that God pays too much attention to what's going on here and with me. And you can see this, like, throughout the story, even her song, which in verse 48, I'm not going to mention it, but she says, he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. Translation, he actually knows my name. He actually cares about what's happening with me. He actually pays attention when I pray. And trust me when I tell you, Mary was a praying girl. She was a praying girl. She knew the word. Her song, trying not to get ahead of myself, because I love the song so much. Her song is filled with scripture. 1 Samuel 1, Habakkuk 3, a bunch of Psalms, Isaiah 61, all in her song. It's amazing how we kind of hold Mary as special, awesome. She's great because she's the mother of Jesus. We don't typically hold her in renown because she knew the word of God backwards and forwards. I had the awesome privilege this morning of driving to church with Caleb and Abby. And they're my kids. Just saying. I have to qualify this. Last time I preached a few months ago, I got done and I had five people come to me and go, oh, by the way, who are you? And I was like, I know where all the dead people are in this church. I know how to break into Trisha's office. With a butter knife. Who am I? Anyway, no. But I was driving to church, and obviously they're away. One's in Pittsburgh, the other one's in Kentucky. So I don't get to do this all the time. So we were just kind of talking about, they're like, Dad, what are you going to preach on? I'm like, I can't give you the whole sermon, but I'll give you a little this and a little that. But we were talking about Mary and her love for Scripture. And I was like, you know, something dawned on me, and I don't want to get like, I don't want to turn every table over, but think about this. Like, Jesus is the incarnate word of God.
Yes. Yeah.
Created everything. Yeah. Okay? So let's just put that on the table, just so you know my theology is not too off. But anyway, Jesus in his ministry quoted scripture all the time. And like, a lot of us will just attribute to, well, he's God in the flesh. I know, guys, and I'm not taking it off the table. I'm putting it on the table. But he was also a human being, fully human, 100% man, raised by human parents. So his value system, Everything that he treasured, everything that he prized, all of that was shaped and molded by his earthly parents. Just like his vocation, he was a carpenter. What did he learn? He learned it from his dad. Where did his love of scripture come from? I thought that was pretty cool. But this song, oh, I'm sorry, that's the story. Let me just finish the story real quick, then I'll get to the song. So, of course, Gabriel is going to communicate to her that God has called her to be the mother of the Messiah, right? And her response to that will, eventually, it's kind of stunning. I mean, I don't know how you guys would respond to it. You know, when the unexpected comes to you, how do you respond? So, but her ultimate response as you read the story is, I am your maidservant, be it unto me according to your word. Another translation says, I am the servant of God. Let everything that he has said about me come to pass. You want to pray a good prayer? That's a good prayer. Like, Lord, everything that you have said about me, let it come to pass. Amen. Everything. Everything. The things I'm believing and tracking with, the things that I'm not. The things that I'm aware of, the things that I'm not aware of. But let everything, let it come to pass. Right? That's her ultimate response to it. And then, and God has some incredible things to say. One of the lines that we all love in this is when the angel Gabriel says in verse 37 of chapter 1, he says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. With God, nothing will be impossible. Right? Do you believe that? Yeah. Yeah, I think there's people within the church, and obviously that would include here, people in the church who at one time really believed that. And then time goes on, and circumstances happen, and now I'm in that kind of like, I don't know. But the word of God says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. And so Mary then takes a little vacation. She goes to spend time with Elizabeth, who also has been met with some incredible news. She's an older lady on the other spectrum of Mary, and she was barren, and now she's pregnant. And she's going to give birth to a prophet named John, who happens to be Jesus' cousin. It's a fascinating story. If you've never read it or if you haven't read it in a while, open it up. This time of year, it's amazing. All right? And so what's going to happen is, as she encounters Elizabeth, her cousin, Elizabeth hears Mary's voice, and the baby, John the Baptist, inside her womb is going to leap. It's just going to begin to have a praise party inside of Elizabeth. And as soon as that takes place, the Bible says Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. To my understanding, this is the first time someone is literally filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come on people at different times throughout the Old Testament. But in this case, the Bible says she's filled with the Holy Spirit. And she begins to prophetically declare over Mary basically the same things that the angel Gabriel did. You are favored. You are highly favored. You are blessed. And then she also adds this declaration. Because you believed, everything God has promised you will come to pass. Come on, that should be encouraging to us. Because you believed, everything that has been promised you will come to pass. That's a good Christmas present right there. Amen?
Yes.
And so after that prophetic declaration is when Mary begins to sing. Now, I don't know how many songs Mary wrote in her life, but this one's 2,000 years old. It's been going on for 2,000 years, all right? So maybe this is the first, maybe it's the only, I don't know. But this is an incredible song. The first four lines go something like this, and we're not going to preach on this. But the first four lines go like this. My soul magnifies the Lord. What I love about the opening line is, again, this is talk about a countercultural song. As compared to a lot of the songs at Christmas time this year, we tend to minimize Jesus. This song is magnifying Jesus. Here, quick reflective thought. Are you minimizing Jesus during the season, or are you magnifying Jesus in this season? Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? She says, my soul magnifies the Lord. Magnify means to make big. Means to make big. It means, just like our kids just said, Jesus is the reason for the season. And so do all the other things that you do. I'm going to too. But please do not divorce your traditions from magnifying the Lord, right? She goes on to say, my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. There's so much in here. For behold, henceforth, love that word. It's a Star Wars word, Mike. Henceforth, all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me. Can you say that? Can you say that? He who is mighty has done great things for me. Has he done great things for you?
Yes.
He has done them for me too. So here's where I'm going to give you guys some Christmas presents, all right? What I see in the rest of this song is actually four Christmas blessings. We're going to call them Christmas presents, all right? And the way I'm going to describe them are so that you can remember them, but I'm going to give you the scripture verse and we'll talk about its meaning, all right? So the first one is this. The first one is found in verse 50. We're going to call it this. We're going to call it Wake Up the Wonder. Wake up the wonder. Everybody say wonder.
Wonder.
Yeah, wake up the wonder. It's found in verse 50 where the Bible says, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. His mercy is on those who fear him. This is a good present. It's a really good present. And I can't go through a biblical theology of what the word fear means, but I'm going to sum it up by saying this. The word fear in the Bible typically means to stand in awe of God or of a thing. Sometimes people feared angels, okay? It means to be in awe. It's where we get our word awesome from. And this is what Mary's song is telling us, that God's mercy is on those who think he's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And who live like he's pretty awesome. Now here's just truth. And I know a lot of you guys know this. There are some things that used to be wonderful, awesome in our lives where we're just like, I don't have any words. It's just breathtaking. This is transformative. This is life-changing. That just have kind of become like normal. Just kind of become like, I'll give you an example. Worship. Now, some of you are newer in here. Just really quick poll. Anybody here been saved in the last, like, few months? You have. In the last couple weeks? No, a couple months. Okay, last couple months. All right. So I could just sit here and talk to you just individually, because I know that you know what I'm talking about, right? Everything is becoming, like, new to you. Everything. Everything's awesome, right? Jesus on the cross. Oh, my God! Jesus on the cross! Jesus shedding his blood. Ah! Jesus rose from the dead. Oh, my goodness. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. Oh, you've got to be kidding me. This is incredible. Like, you wake up thinking about it. You go to bed thinking about it. You're thinking about it all day. You're telling everybody that you see. No one has to pull your leg about getting to church or evangelizing the lost or reading your Bible. You don't even know how to read your Bible when you first get saved. You're like, I don't know where to go. And then you start reading it, and everything's awesome. Everything's incredible. Everything's miraculous. There's got to be some. What's your name? I'm sorry.
Gavin?
I'll call you Cuz. Okay, good. That's good. Thank you. There's got to be someone here other than Cuz. I hope you're not offended by that. It was their fault. Anyway, come on. Do you remember? Do you remember? Do you remember the first time revelation knowledge dripped off the pages of your Bible and you were like, I cannot get enough? Where now a lot of us are laying in our beds or slumbering on our couches and we got to watch one more episode. We used to be like, I just need one more verse, one more book, one more epistle. I don't even know what an epistle is, but one more. Do you remember? We need to wake up the wonder in the body of Christ. We need to reawaken that sense of, oh God. Like we say, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You're awesome in this place. You are awesome in this place. You are awesome in this place. You are so awesome. None compares to you. That's what this song is extending to us. And the Bible says that God's mercy will be upon you. So wake up the wonder. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, wake up the wonder. If I had more time, I would say this. It's not just your job to wake up your wonder. It's our job to wake up collectively each other's wonder. Because it's contagious. It's contagious.
It is. Amen.
That's Christmas present number one. Christmas present number two is give God the pen. Give God the pen. We used to write with pens. Now we give God the pen. Where's Krista, man? I was going to say Krista. I was going to say give God the chalk, because teachers, we used chalk back in the day, right? Give God the chalk. Give God the pen. This is found in verse 52, where the Bible says, he has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly or the humble. It's one of the most common, frequent words we see throughout Scripture is humble. Jesus confessed himself to be, I am humble. The Bible refers to Moses as the most humble man. Humble. 1 Peter chapter 5 gives us some incredible instructions where it says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he might lift you up. Humble. The best Christmas present you can give yourself this year, be humble. Just be humble. It's the best Christmas present you could possibly give, because you're positioning yourself in a place where God can lift you up. And when God lifts you up because he knows you're humble, he knows as you get lifted up, you're just going to make more of him. You're not going to make more of yourself. So why give God the pen? Because in humility, you do what Mary did. See, Mary, 14:15, had a vision for her life, certainly. She had, you know, granted, in the context of that time period and where she was and all that surrounded her, she's obviously living under the oppression of the Roman Empire. Whether she was a big dreamer or not, I mean, she had a sense of how the story of her life was going to go. How many of you have a sense of how the story of your life was going to go? In other words, she held the pen in some sorts, right? But in this moment and in this encounter, God comes in and says, hey, Mary, listen, I want to write the story of your life. I want to write it. And it's going to be a little different than what you thought. How many think it was a little different than what Mary thought? Yeah, come on, somebody. She's a good, pious, she's a good girl, right? She's betrothed to be married, but she hasn't had sexual relations yet. And God says, you're going to be pregnant. She's like, I didn't study biology in high school, but come on. Like, I'm not sure how this all works, God. You got to have some fun with the word. But at the end of it, she says, yes. Behold, I'm the maidservant, Lord. Let everything that you say about me. Here's the pen. Here's the pen. Give God the pen. I don't care about your age this morning. I don't care how long it's been. Give God the pen. He's not done with you. You're sitting in front of me. Some of you still have oxygen and carbon dioxide and all the things going on. Some of you look like it. But the bottom line is, you still have time. God has done so many things with the young, and he's done so many things with the older. He even does some things with people like me who are kind of middle-aged. But he'll do it all. Just give him the pen. Give him the pen.
Amen.
Give him the pen. Present number three. You guys good?
Yeah.
I got two more. Come to the house hungry. I know. We were trying to actually come up with alliteration on the way here. We just couldn't do it. So come to the house hungry. There's an H, two H's. Okay. Come to the house hungry, right? This is found in verse 53, where the Bible says, he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. I love the paradoxes of the kingdom, where we learn things like this. The first shall be, the greatest of all is the servant of all, right? If you want to save your life, you lose it, right? And here he says, if you've got everything and you're filled to overflowing, you're going to go away empty. God says the rich, the full, those who have abundance. And this is not just if you have a lot of money, if you have stuff, that's not the message here. All right, you need to come back to church or come to Bible, come join the college, we'll teach you. But that's not what he's saying. God does not play favorites in that regard. What he does do is he inspects the condition of our hearts. So that's really what's at play here more than anything else. But in general, he's speaking the truth. Those who are rich, those who have so much, Here's the thing. Your soul has a capacity. Your soul has a capacity. And if it's full of stuff that is inferior to the kingdom, then there's no room for the kingdom. It's kind of like why I think John the Baptist said, hey, in order for him to increase, I got to decrease. I got to get out of the way. I got to get rid of some stuff. I got to fast pleasures that have been consuming my life and distracting.
Yes. Amen.
And listen, as much as we love Christmas, Christmas can be awful distracting. Mm-hmm. It can be really, really, the volume is so turned up by this. It's like Charlie Brown said, man, it's become too commercial. Give me some Linus. I'll tell you what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. It's a rough crowd, anyway. I was thinking about it this way. Just like our soul has a capacity, right? Maybe this will make sense. Our stomachs have capacity, don't they? That's what I was thinking about. Right, like, so speaking of Thanksgiving, like, how many love Thanksgiving dinner? Put your hand up. Right. Okay. How many of you load up, like load up breakfast and lunch prior to the Thanksgiving meal? Yeah, I know there'd be a few. You guys don't count, okay? Because you have like eight stomachs. You guys do not count. Don't even. They know who I'm talking about. You don't do that. Why? Because you know your stomach has capacity. And you don't want to miss out on some really, really good things. The Bible here says what? In verse 53, he has filled the hungry with good things. Maybe it's time we inspect the capacity of our souls. Just like we do it on Thanksgiving morning. Because we know the good things that are coming later that day, is that we have to inspect the capacity of our souls in anticipation of the good things that God has for us when we come to him hungry, amen, and we come to him ready and we come to him prepared.
Yes. Amen.
That is good. I like it. Last point, last Christmas present. Here it is. Ready? Okay. This is my favorite, and this is an ode to my youngest daughter, Ari. Help is on the way. I heard it. I already heard it. Everybody knows, right? Look it. Look what the Bible says here. This is in verse 54. It's Mary's song. Four presents, Mary's song. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. I actually called this Listen to Toby, right? Sorry, I messed that up. Forget help is on the way. Listen to Toby. Okay, so I drive Ari to school every morning, and Ari now has a playlist on my phone. She's six, but right now she's only got two songs on her playlist. One of them is a song by Jeremy Camp called "No Survivors." Highly recommend. I send it to you because we love Jeremy Camp. And then the second song is "Help Is on the Way" by Toby Mac.
Yeah.
I forgot how good that song is, right? Well, Ari plays it all the time because there's only two songs on the playlist and I got a 25-minute drive. So I'm preparing for this sermon and guess what I got in my head? It may be midnight or midday. He never early, he never late. He gonna stand by what he claimed. I lived enough life to say, come on. So that's round the corner. Yeah. That's why I was a drummer. Okay. Anyway, if he helped Israel, come on, look at verse 54. If he helped Israel, and here's the thing, guys, you know how he helped Israel? By sending Jesus hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years after he said he was going to do it. And you know what? We should listen to Toby because he was right. Some of you have given up, and you don't say it publicly, and you probably don't even let it show, but there's some things that you've been holding up before the Lord, and it hasn't happened. And so you hear things that come from, like what I'm saying to you, and you're like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm here to tell you, it's on the way.
Yes.
It's on the way.
Yep.
I don't know when. I don't know how, but it's on the way.
Amen.
Yeah, it's on the way. And if you think I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to me too. Because I have some things where my faith has been tried and tested, and I'm holding on with everything, and I resolve, Lord, if you don't come through, I'm not going anywhere else. I'm not trusting anyone else. It's you or it's nothing. It's you or nothing. I'm standing here in the most vulnerable place that I can stand, and I'm going to continue to hold it up before you.
Amen.
And I'm doing what Luke 9 told me to do. Because if you believe, all things are impossible for him who believes. I'm going to believe. I'm going to go down a believer. And whether it's down in history or whatever else, I'm believing God. And I'm pleading with you. This is a season of miracles. The whole Christmas story can be summed up in just that. The good tidings. What's a tiding, right? The good tidings of great joy are for all people. It's for you. It's for you. It's for you. Christmas is a time of miracles. Christmas is a time for miracles. Help is coming. It's coming. And I don't know what it's going to look like, but I want you to stand to your feet this morning because I'm past my time. I'm only 1 minute past my time, though, so that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. I want to believe with you this morning. I want to believe with you. Let's believe for each other, amen? Let's close our eyes before the Lord. He's a holy God. He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy, holy is his name. Come on, just remind him this morning from your own lips that you know he's holy. That you know he's holy. That you know there's no one like him. Come on, stir up your affections for God. Stir them up. You don't need Landon up here, but I'm grateful to you. You don't need him. Stir up your own affections for God. Stir up your heart. Stir up your faith. God, you are holy. You are matchless. There is no one like you. There's nothing that's too hard for you. All things are possible with you, God. And so, Jesus, we come before you and we come grateful. We come, God, we come regarding the fact that you are who you are. You came. You're not a distant God who stands off and points his finger in judgment, but you come just like you came 2,000 years ago. You continue to come by your Holy Spirit, and you continue to redeem, and you continue to rescue, and you continue to save, and you continue to heal, and you continue to repair breaches, and you come to restore. You do all that, and you do it now, and you'll always do that because that's just who you are. And so, Father, I thank you for the help that each one of us need in this moment, in this season, in this hour. The help that only you can provide. We believe, just like Mary said, that you help your servants in accordance with your word. You fill the hungry with good things. You satisfy, Lord, you satisfy our souls. You lift up the humble. You do all these things, and you do all of them so perfectly. And so, God, you said that where two or more are gathered, you are there in the midst. And so, God, thank you for the special blessing that's upon the gathering of the saints this morning. And so, God, as we do, we ask you to pour out your spirit upon every person here. We ask you to revive us, that you would wake up the wonder within our hearts and cause us, Lord, to remember just how exciting it is to live a life with you. That just like Mary, who probably never ever thought that you even blinked an eye at Nazareth, you do the same thing with us, God, you do. You're paying attention to us. You know everything. The Bible says that you're acquainted with all of our ways. And so, God, you know our coming, our going. You know it all. And you're ready to help. And so we cry help this morning. Trusting your word, knowing your presence, and believing with each other. And we ask these things in the mighty, awesome, beautiful name of Jesus. Everybody said.
Amen.
And everybody said. Merry Christmas, guys.